you know, as far as opening up, you know, we've, I've not been doing this elder thing very long, but, you know, it's not a lot of fun often, you know, it's a lot of hard work and, you know, but it's rewarding. And, you know, sometimes you feel like there's just always a constant headwind. And I just wanted to make sure we occasionally take a step back and take a wider look at things. And you know, I really believe God's working here. And it, sometimes it's hard to see, but I you know, I think we just need to, again, kind of step back. And, you know, this is the month of Thanksgiving. And so you kind of look through what has happened and, you know, try to take stock in things. And one of them is, you know, it's been over 2 years we were looking for a lead minister. I mean, over 2 years. We were without a minister for a year, you know. And, you know, what a blessing that, you know, right here we've got Andrew. You know, I mean, really, I mean, yeah, what an amazing blessing. And, you know, several times in that effort, I just like, okay, I just want to settle. You know, this guy's good enough. But, you know, the group was wise enough to say, hey, let's just wait and see what God wants to do. You know, let's wait and see what God wants to do. And I really do feel that we are blessed with having Andrew here. And I really do think you're the right guy for our church right now. Now, it's only been, you know, a couple months, you know, and you're still getting your legs under you. But, you know, I just really feel that... you know, we're getting more wind at our back. And it really seems like you and Nathan and, you know, Kaylin and Devin are clicking. And I really am excited about what that group can do. So, you know, again, what a blessing to have you here. And I went looking and I think, let me see if I've got that. Yeah, so somewhere in here. Oh, thank you. So I'm just saying things to be thankful for. You know, taking a step back, you know, often we hear a lot of gloom and doom in these meetings, but I just want us to remind us about God's blessings. And so I think we interviewed over 25 people, and we, I don't know how many hours of Zoom meetings and stuff we went through, how many resumes we looked at, and you know, what, you know, at times it just felt like drudgery, but I mean, it really... was worth waiting, and just again, feel really blessed to have you here. Amen.
Thank you.
And again, you look at the liminal period, and you know, Philip Matheny preached, and he said, you know, I believe that we will look back at this time, and we will say we were blessed to have gone through it, you know. For that year, we had a lot of people in the congregation step up and preach, and it really forced some people to rise up, and they did a great job. And so, I mean, we can look out at the congregation and say, man, there's some people here that can preach if we need to. You know, so we saw that, and again, just trusting in God through that period. So, again, I think Philip's going to be proven right, and, you know, we're going to look back at that time and say, yeah, God was blessing us in that liminal period. And I guess the other is and you know, I don't know if this is true or not. To me, it seems like it is human nature in sports, in business, and I think in churches, people need a flag to rally around. And usually that's the lead minister, the guy up at the pulpit. Now, you're not the leader of the church, but you often are the guy with the target on your back. And, you know, I think, you know, you did a great job scheduling the sermons and getting people up there, but it's different than having a lead minister. And I really think it is meaningful for a church to have a flag to rally around, and you're doing that well. And I also feel that we're blessed that we've got Devin on. You know, he just kind of came out of the blue, but man, I just, when I talk with him, I really like that guy. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys are clicking, and you know, again, what a blessing that is. And you know, who would have thought? And with that, I have to say, you know, Jeff McGlone, you and Beata, it's You know, I don't think we can thank you enough, and what a blessing you guys have been for, I don't know how many times you extended your temporary assignment, you know, can you do this for a month, and it ended up being a year, and you never complained, and you did an awesome job, VBS and all the kids stuff, and again, what a blessing to have people that can just step in and work in such an amazing way, and so, you know, thank you for that, and again, you know, Devin says he's comfortable here as long as you're... So again, amen to that. And, you know, Nathan, you know, through all of this, he's kind of been an anchor, you know, just really solid. And, he, you know, he preached a couple sermons. It's like, man, that guy can preach. Mm-hmm. You know, and he can sing, too. He's just, you know, really gifted. And so, again, we're blessed with him. And, you know, he's, you know, taking ministry classes, and he's not resting on his laurels. So, and again, I really think that Andrew, Devin, Nathan, and Kaylin are going to be a great ministry team. And the other blessing is, I don't know what our median age was for ministry, you know, 2 years ago, but we've dropped that at least by 15 years. And again, that's something we prayed about, right? Is, yeah. And that God just brought that, right? So
once we got that old Jeff out of there.
Yeah, so he's skewing the average. So again, you know, we couldn't have planned that, and just amen for that. And, you know, we have a lot of blessings in this congregation, and I think much of them are at this table. And I've learned to have a lot of respect for you guys, and I don't know that we say it enough, but, you know, one of that I'm blessed for is Don Fitzgerald, and I think you've been an elder longer than anybody here, and you've blessed hundreds of people, and, you know, we are going to miss you greatly. You know, what a blessing, and there are people at this table that speak well, but in my mind, there is nobody that can get up in front of the congregation and make an announcement, not really an announcement, but talk to the church, and there's a connection there, and you know, that's just what I see, and just what a gift you've had. And I think it's just over the years, people know who you are. You're just genuine and real. And I mean, what a great model for future elders coming in. So we just want to wish you and Debbie the best, and you know, Godspeed. And again, I think Keaton mentioned retiring about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and you said me too. And that was... and so you've been, again, very generous in extending your time for that period. So we are blessed to have you here and just wish you guys well.
Thank you.
And then with Don stepping down, Brad then is the elder statements. I think as far as tenure, you're the next in line as far as maintaining the institutional knowledge and everything in the congregations and, you know, being an elder and... I think that's very helpful. And the other thing, you know, Brad, I think that I see as a strength in you is you are grounded in the scriptures, you know, the stories of the Old and the New Testament. And so I read it and I get confused on whose son was this and, you know, why does this matter or, you know, what, you know, because sometimes things are generational in the Bible story, and you got to understand all that for it to make sense. And you understand the timeline and the significance of these things. And I think that you remind us that the whole story matters, you know, that Christ didn't come to abolish the law but to fulfill it, right? And I think that you are very helpful in understanding the breadth of that and what that meant. So again, for that, and then Dave Weiler. So,
I'm sensing a pattern.
Yes. So this is my Thanksgiving, and so to me, you model balance, and you know, silently I watch you. So you are able to balance. You care about finances and budgets. You know that that means something, but you also trust God and His provision, and I don't know how you do that. So you are a combination of Mary and Martha. And, I mean, really, and I am totally Martha, you know, and So I watch it. It's like, how does Dave do this? And so some people are very Mary, and there's some people that are Martha, but I think you do well on both of those. And, you know, I think it's a gift you have, and I think it's something that I think you've worked at over the years. Just, you know, you just seem to have been intentional about that.
30 years of not-for-profit man.
Yeah.
Working with social workers. Yeah. And, yeah.
And the other thing is, and I'm trying to think of the right way to say this, I have appreciated watching you through your health scare. So, you know, I don't want to make too big a deal out of it. You know, it's not like you were walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but it was serious stuff, right? And you trusted God in that. And, you know, amen, that what it looks like now is you're going to have a regular retirement in a couple years. You're going to have grandkids and trips and stuff like that. But you didn't know how it was going to turn out. It's not how you wanted, but I just really appreciated seeing your faith in that, you know. So, you know, again, just what a blessing God has been through all that. And maybe the blessing has been for other people watching you and maybe not so much for yourself, but it's been a blessing for me at least. And then we've got the two Steves. So, mm-hmm. you know, one of them is Steve Walker. And, you know, it's a position I scratched my head on when he took over the administrative minister. But, you know, looking back, it's like, wow, that was wise. Because, you know, the gaps he filled. And then there were gaps that we didn't even know we had when Kreider left. And I don't think Kreider even had time to do a lot of that. And so, again, just having people kind of like McGlaughan just, you know, where did he come from? Where did Steve Walker come from with these gifts? And he's just done so well. And so, you know, a blessing for that. And then, you know, Autry, it seems like, you know, everybody in every church, you know, looking for ministers and all these connections and just the Lions work you guys did on, you know, all the interviews and scheduling people. And again, bringing us back to, you were one of those that said, hey, just be patient. God's got a plan. Trust in God. And also your example in retirement of not going to the beach, but jumping in with the youth ministry. And I think that's something you love, and it's just, you know, what a blessing. And again, the way that you and Steve work with, you know, Nathan and, you know, the way you working with Andrew, it's great to see. So anyway, you know, what blessings we have there. And so, again, I think, you know, often we can sit here and look at all of the troubles, but the other is, you know, we're blessed with the men at this table and our wives, but we've been having a lot of visitors lately, a lot of new families coming in, a lot of things that we can hopefully take advantage of. Because, again, you just can't expect it to happen, right? You got to make sure that somebody's following up, like hospitality. That's going to be so key in all of this. And making this stick, you know, getting people to come into the door more than once or twice. So a lot of good things. But I'm reminded of Christ's words when, so he sent out the 72, right? And they came back and they were excited. They did all these amazing things. And who remembers what Christ said to them? Does anybody remember? So Christ said,
because you can do these things, but because your name is written down. Or is that?
Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And again, there's a lot of reasons to do what we do, but, you know, it's what is the good news? And again, it's, you know, your sermon yesterday I thought was great. So what is the good news? What is the gospel? And that is, we can go to court knowing that we own nothing. You know, wow. Now, the other part of the gospel that you didn't talk about is somebody had to pay. So if there was a $2 million lawsuit, somebody's paying that up. It's just not us. And I think we just have to stick to the basics, you know, the blocking and tackling. Clint, what you're talking about is that if we can remember that, that is good news. And if we can have that to share with the people around us, you know, that's, you know, I think that's what's going to be important. So, again, I really appreciated your lesson. And again, I think it all goes back down to that. So, anyway, I just wanted to, you know, it's stuff I've been thinking about for a while. Just, you know, we grind away in here. But, you know, God's working in the background. And, I mean, you know, a year ago, what would we have thought of if we thought we'd be here in the situation we have with the ministries we have and the people we got visiting? And again, you know, we still have to take advantage of this. You know, we just can't sit back and expect things to happen, but what a blessing. So anyway, let me pray.
Thanks.
Father in heaven, we want to pause tonight and just give thanks to you. You have been faithful to this church through every season. Through times of waiting, searching, and renewal. Thank you for the people around this table and for their love for you and for your flock. Thank you for Andrew, for Devin, for Nathan, Kaylin, and all the who serve around here, and for the ways that you've provided and guided and sustained us. So as we lead, help us to remember that this is your church, not ours. Remind us that our greatest joy is not in the work we do or the results we see, but that our names are written in heaven. Give us eyes to see where you are already at work and hearts that are open to those who need care and courage to follow wherever you lead. Bless this meeting, Lord, and may every word we speak tonight honor you and strengthen your people. Amen. So with that, we're back on the agenda. And so I had people last, and I moved it to Firth. Andrew and I were arm wrestling about this one. And I said, it's the most important thing, so it should be last. Andrew said, it's the most important thing, so it should be first.
Yeah.
Now, my thought is this, and that's why I sent the email out, is often when we get to the people section, it seems like we pause and we just run through people in our head, take inventory. And that, it's not bad, but we should be praying for people daily. We should have a list, and we should, okay, here's people I've been praying about. Here's who we need, and we should come here, and we should be ready to share. And then, like Andrew said, that should prompt some other thoughts of other people, but hopefully we have lists that we're praying for people, and we're intentional, and so when we come here, it's like, yeah, I've been praying for this guy all week, or I've been praying for this situation all week. And so I just wanted to throw that out, and I'll try to do that, you know, before the next couple of meetings, because it's a practice I need to get better at, and so I just wanted to open it up to people.
I appreciate you prompting that, and I went through the whole directory online. We could spend a couple hours.
Right.
It's like so many here I haven't seen and don't know much about, and some who probably left. So man, it's hard to.
Right. Yeah, and the other when we talk about people is, so in business school, they talk about management by objective. So that is a tendency for people to focus on the bad stuff. So like if you're missing budgets, nobody talks about budgets unless you're missing them. And so like with people, it doesn't mean we only have to talk about people in trouble, but we should be saying, hey, I've been praying about Matthew Bardwell. I've talked to him the other day. He's excited about coming in here. So we need to be talking about that too. Or, you know, Colby and his girlfriend's been coming to church, and I talked with them the other day. I've been praying about them, and, you know, I'm excited to, you know, they're liking what they're seeing, those kinds of things. So Colby Colby and Sophia, they weren't here this past Sunday, but they've been coming for a couple Sundays, just a new visitor. And so hopefully, we're praying about visitors, and we're bringing them here. And again, with hospitality, it's like, I've been reaching out to them, and I'm real excited about what they've got to offer, and you know, that kind of stuff. So it doesn't always have to be management by exception, the bad stuff, but we need to manage both sides of the of the field. So anyway, people.
I was going to say it's been a long time since we've gone through the directory as a group, and that probably would be a good thing for us to do starting off the new year here.
Okay, I got that as an item. Okay.
I have a question about somebody who's not in the director anymore. Whatever happened to Retta Sutterfield? Can I remember? Do what?
Camping a lot.
Yeah.
Bought a trailer and kind of just.
But it seems like she was upset about something. I just can't remember what it would have been. And she's not in the directory anymore. don't think.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
We'd have to ask Jeff, I think, because I think it was, so around then is when they went through the directory removing people.
Yeah.
I don't think they've done it since then. So around that time, Jeff, and that was one of his things. He wanted to get finished before he left. And so I think the Vincents are still in there.
Oh, yeah.
But they've left since that point. So yeah. So you could sort of determine when it was gone through. So something happened around then where she wasn't there. Because I don't think she was even there for Jeff's retirement party. Mm-hmm. So Jeff may know that. But I had never heard. I just know that I have not seen her for...
Yeah.
2 years probably now.
Yeah. And I know her daughter was having a lot of things. I asked her every now and then about her daughter.
Okay. What other individuals?
Claudia Miller. She's technically not a member, but she comes to our small group. And she's in Florida with her son, who is in recovery. Yeah. And his marriage is falling apart. And... he needs prayers to stay the course. Max Miller. And so our small group's praying for him. And Mary Jo Connolly has AFib, and she had some heart tests today. I was part of the group serving her yesterday. That was a really nice project. Good. She was very encouraged and went very well. And so she said she had some tests today to figure out her path forward. I think it was an ultrasound ultimately, and an EKG. So I'm not sure what they'll do with her AFib, but that's a fairly new diagnosis for her. And then Jack and Nell Crawford are members and don't ever come. They do online stuff with, I think they've got a church that they like to watch, but anyway, they're still faithful givers. And their daughter, Valerie, is out of town for about a month, and they've got a routine of Sunday lunch at Miss Cherie's.
Oh, really?
That Amy and I are going to try month to catch up with them. And I wanted to, they're members that you would not have met yet, mm-hmm. Andrew. And I don't know if a Sunday in November after church for your family to go out to lunch. You know,
it's just a big group you take when you take us.
Yeah. That's okay. And we, Amy and I, would be happy to treat and try to line that up with Jack and Nell here sometime in November. Okay. So we'll just wanted to touch base with you about that.
Yeah. So the part of the hospitality right thing.
But they closed that one down here, didn't they, on Manchester?
There's one near South County, south on Lindbergh.
On Lindbergh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's and the last one in St. Louis.
What's that?
It's the last one in St. Louis.
Yeah. And so there, you can picture Jack and Nell there. Amy and I went there once because we just heard the Creeches did that, and we're like, we ought to go. And so, anyway, we'll try to pull that together. And with Valerie out of town, that's a weekly routine, I think, touching base with them and letting them meet you and your family would be a real boost.
And they know you because they like to watch Brian.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, mention them.
Nina Buenaventura, I haven't seen her in a while.
She was here last week.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. She had somebody with her, right?
Now, there's two girls that look a lot alike of the same descent, is that the right word? That I always get confused.
Is she like the Filipino in healthcare?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've been living with Petrina.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I didn't.
That's right.
I didn't see. I mean, I didn't see a lot of people, but I didn't notice her.
Yeah, I did not either. But it's possible she was here. I know Petrina's been here the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
But I didn't ask Beth if she saw her or not. But
okay.
Do you remember where she was sitting?
But she would have been sitting in the back right side.
Well, from the back,
from the front, if you're looking at her when you're preaching, she would
it's being the second set of pews.
But I saw her. I was in the middle, and I looked to my left, and I thought she was the person that I didn't know.
It's possible.
Okay.
But
my Sundays are like
better camera,
blurred.
Yeah,
so.
I've got it right here. Brett started taking pictures for me every Sunday.
Oh, here. That's super good, Brett.
And when I was out of town, I got an email that Nancy Byers' father died.
Right.
So everything okay with her and her and her sister, and they're staying? Is her sister live in the house also?
Sister is moving in.
Okay.
From Nancy's care.
Okay.
And I guess they're not going to have a memorial for the father.
Yeah.
And so we have heard of those arrangements. And Nancy's not really up to coming to church anymore. She's a little too frail.
Oh,
to,
really? Okay.
Needs a little too much help for her sister to try to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think for Nancy's comfort, she might have fallen once. Mm-hmm. With the Milligans, something like that. I knew she was too much for them, but I think she's concluded she's not coming either, but online watching. And so she has a care plan with her sister.
Okay.
Is what I heard from.
She doesn't have a computer and she can't watch it.
Oh, okay. That's right. I did. Somebody else did tell me that.
Does she choose to not have one, or she just doesn't have one?
That's a good question. Her father was very strict with, you know, what she could and couldn't do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. And so maybe that was part of it. I don't know.
Huh. I think we come up with an old computer that doesn't have a whole lot of power. Extent of my knowledge.
I wanted to ask does anyone know what happened with Larika Tucker leading the communion thought a week ago where... She wasn't there. Apparently, Steve Walker stepped in. I wondered if that was the last minute or...
So what Steve told me is she had a dental procedure earlier that week.
Okay.
And so apparently she was planning to attend, but I guess last minute he did it. And so that's one of the items later on here is, you know, somebody has to have that in their back pocket. And I remember you've got... the sermon in their back pocket. I can't remember who had the communion in the back pocket. But he did a good job. Steve did jumping up there. But the other thing is, so last meeting, we talked about, well, who should do communion? And I think the two things that we have stated is that somebody that's been baptized and somebody that is here more often than they're not. So,
if we communicated that to...
to Steve.
When I left, y'all said you were fine with it as long as she had been baptized. So Kaylin did reach out to her to make sure she had been baptized.
Right.
And so,
That's great that she was willing to do it, because she's pretty regular.
Yeah. Yes.
Her mom served communion this week.
So Steve told me she had a dental procedure.
Yeah.
I think he knew she was still on the. So I think he knew ahead of time.
No, he only knew 30. He said he told me 30 seconds before. Yeah.
Kaylin knew to be looking for her to make sure she came.
I thought that she had told me that Steve was going to do it. So maybe they had arranged in case.
Oh.
That could have been.
And then 30 seconds before, because she had told me when we got there that Steve was doing the communion or something. No. But it never clicked why. And
well,
then
he was
now
doing
you said
the offering
that,
already.
So he was doing the prayer for the offering, yeah.
So maybe that's what I had heard.
Yeah.
She was still on the plan for the assembly.
Right,
Then I saw
and I know that
Kaylin
had checked with her several times. Hey, you sure? And then that came up. And it's going to happen. And so that's why we want to, you know, we've got the Sermon on the Mount in the back pocket.
I told her anytime I can step in and do that
good.
Pretty easily.
Good.
So.
Yeah, I remember you did Psalms 22, which was good. So I know my communion talks.
Yeah.
Wait, did you know that Kreider's writing a book?
No,
on communion
for
talks.
Communion talks.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's told me he needed to write a book.
Yeah.
He's not done a communion talk in forever. So
yeah, I know.
He's gonna write them all.
And I guess while we're talking about people is, I think everybody knows that young woman Kaya and her grandfather are living with Ron and Joni, and just, you know, again, three generations of dysfunction, and again, you know, Ron and Joni don't have the skills to do that. And you know, I've been thinking and praying about that. I just don't know, you know, what to do for Kaya, but also what my role is with Ron and Joni. And so I think everybody on that side of the table has experience with adoption and foster families. So if you're going to have that kind of a situation, you got people coming into your house. You know, do you have the room for these people? Do you have a bed for them? So, you know, I went out with Ron and Joni, and they bought a couple of futons. And, you know, it's like, man, I couldn't sleep two nights on one of those. And it's like, okay. And then you've been to Ron's house. So we in the basement, I push stuff out of the corner. So there's a little corner, you know, a cot in there. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, you would never allow a foster child to stay in a place like this, I wouldn't imagine. And so I think there has to be some wisdom in that, you know, Ron and Joni, I appreciate your heart, but, you know, this is going to end badly.
Is there any chance that he can do something month to month? Does he get enough, any kind of income at all?
Well, I think he's talked to Andrew about trying to get money.
Recently reached out asking if we could help with money for him.
So he's spent probably the past 40 years figuring out how not to work, you know, and he's good at it. And I mean, he's not like he's a druggie. His children are, the, you know, Kaya's mother and dot father. But, you know, Derek, yeah, again, I don't have the skills for this. And again, in my mind, what I see are everybody in her life seeing her as an inconvenience. You know, I just don't know how to deal with that. So anyway, just a lot of prayers for Kaya. And I know you guys have reached out to her and other people. But also, to have wisdom on what to say to Ron and Joni. You know, I just don't know because, you know, in some part of me, I want to say, hey, you know, you guys at least opened your house, haven't done that. But I think there is an obligation of minimal expectancy if you do that kind of a thing. And it's like, and I don't know that they understood that when they started this. So, and that's what I don't know how to talk with them about.
I don't think the Milligans see it as a long-term, open-ended, and it might evolve into that, but I think the minimal accommodations is like, look, we're just filling this brief gap until they settle in St. Louis because he wanted to come back here.
Right.
I don't think they felt like they were propping them up open-ended.
No, and I agree that it's not going to be long, but it's going to be at least a couple of months, and it's like you can't sleep on an army cot or a futon for
what's going to happen after a couple of months?
It's pie in the sky right there. There are hopes and dreams that Derek has. Now, there is no urgency on his part now that he's got a place to live, right? So it was communicated to Ron and Joni that, you know, a couple months and we're going to get an apartment, and that's kind of what they've been saying. And so Kai isn't going to school because, hey, we don't know where we're going to end up. Mm. And so she... Yeah. And she's a 15-year-old girl, and she's not going to school. And
that's illegal.
Right. Because they keep saying, well, we're just going to be here for, you know, we don't know how long.
Yeah.
But that's going to be months. And then they're talking about, well, maybe we'll just move to Pennsylvania here in a couple months. But anyway, the long story is, yes, I think not that Ron and Joni were sold a bill of goods, but I think they interpreted it in the best possible light and not understanding what they were getting into.
Well, when they were here the last time, they never stayed at their house. They always were able to get an apartment somewhere, and always arranged somewhere to live because they had money from somewhere. Probably from the government somehow they were able to get to it.
Yeah, but I moved him into the apartment.
I think I was with you. Yeah. So we were going back and forth, and I have to move out of there, and it's like, so they had money to get there. And most of it was government based, I would guess. I don't think he was making any more money from anything else. But and the assumption is that he still has some kind of source of funds. Of course, those right now are in lieu of actually getting them. But that's still the SNAP is just money for food. It's not actually money for living. So you would assume he'd still be having somewhere that money if he still has it. But because he's moving around, it's possible he doesn't have it right now because you have to have a location where you're sort of where you can.
The last time I talked to him, he acted like he is getting it. Is he assured me he gets a thousand next week. He was saying, but you know, he wants to be back in Pennsylvania now.
And that's what he was saying to me with his daughter.
And so, but there's some wisdom in that, and being closer to his daughter. But
I thought the exact opposite. And again, you know, who knows what to do. So the mother gave up custody. She's all whacked out. They hasn't had any contact with the kid, wanted it. And again, Derek's thinking, you know, again, it's like going to be an after-school special. They're going to show up, and they're going to run slowly through wheat fields and, you know, hug. And that is not going to be it at all, you know. And
So, Brett, are we sure? So Andrew and I have had some conversations. Is it the same daughter of his? Does he have more than one daughter?
He's got two daughters and two sons. This is the daughter. This is Kaya's mother.
She's the one that lives in Pennsylvania.
Right, which is gave up custody. She's, you know, whacked out on drugs. And I can't see that ending well. But, I mean, I just don't know what that girl, what can happen. It's just, you know, it's going to go a lesser bad is the most you can hope for. So anyway, just need a lot of prayers. And again, how should we, I mean, for next time, you know, if there's somebody wants to move in with somebody, okay, how do you counsel them? So what do you do? You
can't tell people what to do with their own housing. But,
but we can give them wisdom to say, so, you know, Ron was talking to me about this earlier, and if I had any more wisdom, it's like, you need to talk to CFS because they deal with foster care and adoption, and you have a whole process of looking at a house, looking at the people, I mean, evaluating all that.
And transitional housing is very hard to get in St. Louis, almost impossible.
Right.
For what it's worth, I did have a good conversation with Ron before the week before they came, and talked to him about our experience with addiction of a teenager and things to have your guard up for and things to temptations to remove, and you know, hopefully it would be a short-term thing and all of that. And so he has had a little bit of counsel. For what it's worth,
since she's available during the day. This is a wild hair idea. Could we hire her a couple hours a day to come up and just vacuum and clean the church building? Kaya.
I'm open to whatever. I think she needs to stay busy. And I think the other part of it is, you've been in Ron and Joni's house, a small house, three people in their 80s, and you know, there's a yappy dog, and it's really cramped. And she's a 15-year-old girl, and she's got to live in a space smaller than a prison cell. And it's like, man, she's probably got to go crazy.
Go hire somebody. You can't do it. I mean, she's 15 years old.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if we're being asked to, you know, provide care for them and she's not in school, she needs to be hotline right now.
Yeah.
We have a duty. Yeah. If we know that she's...
I will say Lydia has been come close to that. I was going to bring this up.
Yeah.
To you afterwards, is that Lydia's been wondering if she needs to call DCFS.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the reason he gave for her not being in school when I brought it up is he said, well, that's part of the reason they kind of started having to move around is because that she got kicked out of school for the stuff they found on her. And then that's when he started trying to homeschool her. And so... And again, this has been the hardest part because I've heard four different stories. And so, you know, trying to figure out what part is true, what part isn't, all those, you know, Kai is the only one that has not mentioned drugs of any kind. You know, she does not bring that up. But then Grandpa didn't bring it the first time, brought it up the second time. And so trying to make sense of it all is an extra thing.
That she's using drugs or he's using drugs?
That she's using. At first, it was only alcohol that I heard of, that she had an alcohol problem. But drugs were mentioned at least three different times by different people. So.
Yeah, and Brett, back to your point about if we were to hire her, we would be the ones at fault at the point.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. If she gets called, oh, no, she's been working here. Yeah. Well, yeah, we're...
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Big.
Yeah.
But I did offer her to come hang out with us in the office.
Okay.
At one point. I said, hey, if you just need a change of scenery, you know, she has my number.
Yeah.
Right. And I know Brett has done the same thing for their house, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, a lot to pray about there for a lot of things, so...
Then kind of in the same line, Audrey, I haven't seen her in a while, and then her granddaughter, she came a couple Wednesdays ago, and she said that her mom is living with them. Mm-hmm. That's a, don't think that was a good situation.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Kathy Dolan, Kathy Keaton Jones, whatever their names are.
Yeah.
No, as soon as I heard that, I was like, that was just a very, after Audrey being in our small group and having long conversations about her getting the parental rights from Cassie, and it was just sort of strange that Cassie, I didn't think that Audrey would let her back in, at least from the way that she had talked all those times, and then that she's back, that's...
All right, anything else?
Real brief, try to. Had an interesting experience on Sunday. Pulled up in the circle, unloading the van, and a young couple of girls holding hands were walking up the entrance into the church. Mm-hmm. I think you guys know who they are. Maybe one is part of the Jones family. Mm-hmm. So I think we've mentioned there's a couple. Mm-hmm. And so... and so then I park the van and I start walking in, and right ahead of me is another two females holding hands.
Oh, really?
And it's Debbie Fitzgerald and her granddaughter. Oh, wow. Walking right up the same corridor holding hands. And one I was it's not comfortable context. With, and the other one I very much was, because I knew them and I was kind of convicted that. And I'm glad they're there. We want to be a place where people can see God. But we've talked about those scenarios, and there it was as plain as day in front of me today. And I don't know how, you know, they hold hands all the way in, or if they're, you know, getting the cold shoulder or the stink eye or hugs. I don't know what happens when they walk in. I just saw them sitting. And so can anybody elaborate any on do you know them and how their experience has been? And
they've been coming for a long time, a couple of years.
Okay. I just haven't noticed them like that before. So
it's interesting because, I mean, they had quit coming for a while while Chris, because Chris and Amy haven't been around.
Right, they've been sick.
And then they, I guess a week or two ago, they started coming back by themselves. So usually they would only come if Chris and Amy were here.
Yes.
And
so that's Chris's daughter and a girlfriend?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I would also include the whole situation with my daughter. So, and I had mentioned last time that she's not working at Sonic, so she's sort of free on Sundays. Mm. But if she's here, she's going to be one of those sites as well. Mm-hmm. So, and my goal is, so I'm preaching on the 23rd, and so my goal is to get her to come and get her friends to come too. And so it will be a ragtag bunch of people that that would be joining her.
But, good.
Mm-hmm.
But it would fit into that same scenario. And but more on the non-binary, I think, kind of group, and as opposed to the other. But it'll be an interesting kind of thing. I think that we need to be open, and we need to be, because I mean, God wants everybody, and God will change people whenever He touches them, because He changes us too. Yeah. So it's, but we struggle with her situation. We struggle with all the situations, but it's the.
So, Andrew, we've been talking about this for a while and trying to make sure we're drawing lines where God does, but still be a welcoming, hospitable environment. And I've been thinking that we need to figure out how to do some teaching on this. And I think the context that's appropriate, I'm convicted about, is there's all kinds of people that need to be welcomed here, not just the LGBTQ community. That's just one subset, whether it's people with addictions or divorce or, you know, gambling, domestic violence, whatever that scenario is. we need to not be shunning people that we learn things about.
People with autistic children and all that.
And so, yeah, because there's challenges and difficulties. And so maybe there's a context there we can address this very cultural, blatant phenomenon of the, you know, in the context of loving our neighbor. And so whether that's a class or a sermon series or a congregational meeting or I don't know, but I think that's what the stuff we've been talking about and the couple of books we reviewed, and I think that's what's it's leading us to. Mm-hmm. And when and how, let's keep that before us and not just, I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to do anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of afraid of the topic to misstep and, you know, like racial issues, there's an eggshell thing there. Mm-hmm. Where there's, you can say the right thing and in the wrong way, and wow, that's damaging.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, God can do with that, you know, what he's going to do with it, but it's just hard to do it right and see clearly how to do it right. So, but what's that worth?
Yeah. Right, two more. One is Sherry Conley. Her grandson died. His funeral was today. That's what Kellers were in town for. So I went over for the visitation. Pray for them. And also, so Ann Krigler is living with the Cannons. And in my mind, I think, wow, she's homeless and the poorest family in our church offers. But I think it's a great thing because she can help them.
So yeah, I think I've turned into that. And she's a blessing right now, being there with the twins and everything. And she is pulling some weight.
That's great.
In the household.
Yeah. So she's staying with Michael and them?
Yeah.
Yes.
But not with Gloria?
No.
Okay,
Gloria
good.
Was the one shortly after the birth that was filling that gap like moms-in-laws mm-hmm. do, you know, for a number of months.
Well, so I thought Anne was staying with Gloria.
I think she might have very briefly.
Early on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Briefly.
So and now that's migrated, and Gloria's back to her home more than being at the Cannons. But Anne is a fixture there and has some resources that her boys are providing and has apparently a food pantry network, and she's always helping with the boys. So.
Good. And so I guess financially, you know, I know the Cannons are struggle. How is all that going? Do we know?
They have agreed to work with me on budgeting and those things that need to be done. And we've talked about it, but never started. Well, we've actually started now.
And
typically on Sunday during class time, I'm going to be working with Michael or Whitney or whoever's here. Whitney doesn't come that often anymore. She has sleepless nights and, you know, with the twins and still. But they are very open and they're being transparent. But they've made some mistakes, but they have resources. It's just a matter of good habits. And they're realizing that. They are saying the right things as we walk on that.
Now, 8-9 months ago, that van, I guess it's not working anymore?
It's not. And his uncle really shafted him.
Really?
And I was part of that being duped, the real condition. It needs a catalytic converter. It's not worth $2,500 to put into that van. So I am working with him, Michael, on maybe buying Bryant's old vehicle that he still owns.
Suburban.
Yeah. And it needs a little work, but it's much more serviceable than the one we bought for them. And so I'll help make that happen.
We know that Bryant's vehicle, though, he's completely out of a vehicle right now as well.
Oh.
He had a vehicle accident without insurance, and from what he says, it doesn't take a whole lot to get it serviceable again, but until he settles up, it's convoluted.
Right.
But.
Well, let me pray about this, then. We had a lot of coverage there. Lord, we want to just bring before you many in our congregation and many in our community, and as shepherds, we do want to hear the bleating of the sheep and try to understand how to serve them and what they need. And just give us wisdom and the resources to do what needs to be done. And pray for Rita Sutterfield, and hasn't been around in a while. And I pray that she understands how important it is to be connected with the body. And That's really going to help her with her relationship with you. And we pray for Claudia Miller and her son Max that you help her. She's down in Florida as he deals with a recovery from drugs, and just that's a horrible situation, and just help her in that. And I just pray that you give her peace and that she can turn to you in this situation. Pray for Mary Jo in her heart, and I know she has a lot to worry about, and this is just one other thing. And hopefully as a church we can rally around her, and just she feels the love. Pray for the Crawfords, members who don't come but still seem to support us financially, and just hope that we can maintain a connection there. For Nina, who seems to have been gone for a while, and again, just hope that we can make a connection and we haven't put her off in some way. For Nancy, whose father died, and just be with her and her health, and as her sister moves in, that works out well. For Larika Tucker, you know, be with that situation, and we pray for wisdom with Kaya and Derek Stewart, and with Ron and Joni, and just, you know, the mess that is, and just help us to know what to do, and just be with that young woman, just be with that 15-year-old girl who just needs a lot of help and love and hope right now. Pray for Audrey, and that you give her wisdom as she deals with her family. And Father, as a parent, I know that it's hard to manage your love for your child with dealing with issues that they have, and maybe trying to react rationally with situations that may be going on. But just be with Audrey and everybody living in that house. And we pray for people that come to this church, Father, for those in the fringes, for the LGBTQ, for Greta, and people like that that maybe be tattooed or pierced or in other ways strange. But God, may they be welcome here. May we love them. Father, that we stand firm on your word and what it means to really live a life that pleases you. But Father, help us to be loving and welcoming to these people. Pray for the Connollys and just the horrible death of their grandchild. What a tragedy that is, and give them peace. Pray for the Ann Kriglers living with the Cannons. And again, just seems like a messy situation, but maybe you can make well of that, and that it'll be helpful for Cannons with the twins. Father, again, just help us to be willing to get involved and get messy with people, and to engage and try to love the people in this church. Amen. Amen. All right. In managing time, let me kind of run through some of this stuff. So on number five, we'll go back to four. On number five, so last meeting, Andrew put out a quarterly church calendar, which I thought was a great idea. So it's like a rolling quarterly church calendar. I said, hey, Andrew, that would be great for the preaching schedule. You know, if the elders, you don't have to plan too far about ahead, but if we got rolling quarterly schedules from the preaching minister, from the youth minister, and the children's minister, that would be great. So we would know what's going on. And also for the adult class, Christian Formations class. So, you know, get a rolling quarter. So as elders, we know what's going on, and we can look at that and say, you know, maybe we can be more thematic with what we're doing here or whatever, but so we at least get an update on that. So we can talk about that at the next meeting. And again, we talked about just a reminder that have back pocket readiness for communion and sermon coverage, because like we talked about this Sunday, you know, it's going to happen. And so, Andrew, we'll put you down for communion, and we can talk to Kaylin about that. We can talk to you next time about the Pepperdine preaching initiative, which sounds like a great opportunity, and we don't need a lot of details.
There's not much more to say other than that email. Even if you go to their website, there's not much more.
Yeah,
than
and
that.
You probably haven't talked to anybody much, and I know that Dave said, you know, if you can start making travel arrangements, do that.
Already paid for it.
Excellent.
Nice.
And so maybe next time, whenever you get more information, we can kind of say, hey, how's it going? And, you know, it seems like an exciting opportunity. Mm-hmm. And again, if you feel that there's something like this that would help you, just bring it to this table. We're not always going to say yes, but we want to, you know, support you however we can. For the food pantry, with the government shutdown, we just need to be ready that there may be a greater need. And in talking with Mark Minton, you know, usually the end of the month is slow, and they had like, I can't remember, 10, 15 families, and so it's stacking up. I think SNAP may have a reprieve, but I think we just need to be ready for that. And so I don't know, Steve, if you had anything real quick to add to that.
Just, I think, just kind of like what you announced Sunday, better to get it sooner than later. And then I just wonder about our families here who work for the federal government, which I think Stewart is. He may be the
only. Have a good chat with him. They're doing fine. Okay. He's driving DoorDash. She's still working.
Okay.
And so they're making ends meet, no urgency. Okay. And I think he heard me when I said, hey, let us know if you get stretched too thin.
Good, good.
And would embrace, you know, letting us, you know, benevolence or something. Yeah. So they're good.
Okay, and then any families we have that may be on food stamps or some of that stuff that may be cut, I think Cannons and the Taylors, there may be more. And
they're good because Missouri is making whole the program.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And so Missouri had a plan with their reserves or something.
Good.
That the state program. So they have not lost out on any
benefits.
Okay,
good. That's great. Good. Thank you.
And they both know to let me know if there is a gap. And
okay.
So,
and I talked with Mark Benton last week, and he had a good idea. And, you know, just talking through this, and he said, you know, some people may be reluctant, some of the members here, due to pride or shame or whatever. And he said, you know, it may be worth just boxing up stuff and just dropping it on their porch. You know, just don't ask them, just give them the food.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's not a bad idea. So anyway, just something to think about. It's, you know, we're just going to do it, and they can throw it away or whatever. But
and I would say, because Dave, you're so in touch with so many of those families, that we kind of, you'd be the point person for some of that stuff.
That'd be fine.
Great.
I don't know how you do all these things you do.
Yeah.
But you do a great job.
We're Mary and so Martha.
Yeah. Andy Clapper is going without a paycheck, and they're doing well, too.
Okay.
He was part of the work group on.
Yeah.
So I seized that opportunity to pull him aside and say, hey, how's that
good,
going?
Good.
He was transparent and said they're in really good spots. Yeah. So.
And back to the in our back of our pocket, this is the Sermon on the Mount that I planned. So
right.
I'm going to put, this is a printed one, and Kaylin has it. I think she's got it all set up, but I'll put this in my mailbox if I'm not around.
Right. Can you email it to me?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, if you can. So just give me a soft copy, and then I can
here's a copy.
Put that on my website so we can get it wherever. Okay, great.
Stole my
so with that, I want to go back to number four. So this is, you know, important thing, and it's going to start this next Sunday. So I think week one, we kind of had the topics laid out. Now, how you guys have decided to split up that work, I mean, if you got together and you're comfortable about what's going to happen next Sunday and okay.
Yeah, he and I got together, and Don and I have gotten together, and so just a couple things, you know, so he's going to do the first three quarters, and I'm going to do the last part and wrap it up.
Now, were you going to kind of do the intro to it and then pass it to him?
That's the first one. And the second one.
So on the other, so let's go to the first one. Now, then the other two, and I'll let you guys talk, is So Dave mentioned this last time, is that there's certain things we need people to have time to chew on and consider. And I think the way I originally had it was in week three to talk through that. And so if you guys are going to move there, okay.
So I just want to make sure that. Okay. So what you guys have is week three will now be week two.
Okay.
We'll start off with the biblical qualifications. And Don will do that. And I'm going to do number two, the eldership development at McKnight. And he's going to do congregational partnership, then I'm going to do looking ahead. So we're going to
and on that, do you have any meat on the bones yet? I mean, I don't think you have to have it all scripted, but do you have the general outline, that something you can send us to look at? And...
No.
Okay.
Just what you guys have here, that's pretty much the meat on the bones that we're...
Okay. The thing we talked about today is we essentially have 30 minutes to do this. So it's not going to be a long time. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it can be done based on the general outline, but it's going to be pretty short to the point on each of these.
Right, which is good. I think it might be, if we kind of had an idea of what would be said when, because there may be hot button items. It's like, guys, listen, in week two, we're going to hit on these two things. And here's how we're going to say it, so we know to get ready to how to possibly field questions afterwards or whatever.
Yeah, so I think you can just look at the basic outline and you'll be able to get it from that. Yeah. So
good.
No surprises.
All right.
So
One of the things that you weren't here last time, we had talked about possibly having some way for them to give questions in. So either we just need to come up with some kind of Google form and they can actually scan it and do it that way, or we can have a physical bucket or something in the back and they can just drop them in as they're walking out.
No Q&A.
For the three classes?
For Q&A.
For all three classes.
Card. Okay.
For all three classes, we were not going to allow questions that day. They had to be submitted in advance.
What if we had a Google form or just they text a certain number?
Well, we'll look at it, and I'll work with Jeff.
Okay.
So it's preferable to do it beforehand, or you know, we can put a QR code, and they can just start doing that. Yeah. But we want to be able to look at the questions and kind of go through it that
way. So we would do it the next week.
And again, we only have 30 minutes.
Right.
If you take one question, we'd be down the rabbit.
In reality, the whole thing may actually answer all their questions.
Right. Yeah.
So you want to go through your material the first 3 weeks, and then the fifth week... So there's a week of gap. So the 7th.
Right.
No, not the 7th.
The 7th is the congregational meeting.
It's December
7th. The 30th is a gap week.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and it's just a fellowship. And then the 7th would be the option of answering questions, really.
Yeah.
So if there's any questions left that don't get caught in the first 3 weeks.
And I had an important thought, and I'll probably remember it here in a little bit. But we were announcing to them, we talked about on week two, just kind of letting them know what, with Don retiring, Jeff coming on, and then we debated on, and we thought, well, maybe just talk to them about Eric and Matthew Bardwell. It gives them a chance to chew on it for a while.
Yeah, and I didn't know. I remember when you were talking about it, you wanted to do it the other way, which makes sense to me.
I didn't want the same session when they hear our thoughts on divorce and what we believe that means and how we're going to interpret it. And that very same at the end, we announce Eric and Matthew Bardwell were going to be sitting in to, you know, invited to consider the calling.
Yeah.
So,
and I didn't want that to happen the very same session. I thought the week later would be better, or the congregational meeting, so that people can digest the lesson before we hit them.
So I would say then let's do it on session number three, and then they have a chance to think about it and stuff, and then...
do it. What is it? Which one of those is it?
Session three was what we did have session
announcing.
Two.
I didn't know if you're talking about the announcement or the teaching on divorce. So being the announcement.
Session two is teaching on the qualifications.
Okay.
But in teaching on the qualifications, I didn't feel compelled to go deep on the one thing about divorce. That if we say that what the qualification says is the husband of one wife, and I didn't think we were going to pare it out and try to, we will never.
Right. I don't think we need to poke the bear.
No.
I think we could just say
it come out in the question.
Right. Say it in the way that we have it phrased in our, what do we believe is, how is it? The husband of one wife or I can't remember, one woman, man. Yeah.
So if we are using that terminology, I feel better. Cause I think it's going to be meaningful. A lot of people read that, and that means never divorced. And that's what they believe it means, and that is not what we believe it means. And so as long as we're using terminology that, you know, makes that clear or clearer or you know, I think you're right. That doesn't have to be this big spotlight on this major change. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to slight that. I want people to understand.
And I'm pretty confident it's going to come up in questions, you know.
Well, and I think also bringing it up, people will know that this is a part of the Bible we read. We talked about it. It's not like we skipped over it. And mm-hmm. So we understand what we're saying. So mm-hmm. I think that'll be good.
Okay, so we can talk about Don and Jeff, but then we'll wait till week three. And we have a chance, you know, depending on what the questions are and stuff, we may decide to do that at the congregation. So that's, we can be flexible with that.
Yeah, I think that gap is healthy.
Yeah.
From what we're communicating.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And again, with Jeff, we are making a recommendation and presenting him to the church for their approval. Yeah. And I think we have to phrase it that unless...
Affirmation.
Right. Their affirmation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when is that happening? Just so that I can maybe be at church on the
Yeah, please kind of show up.
That'll be week two.
Week two. Class week two. Okay.
So it's...
Not this Sunday, but the next Sunday.
16th.
Week before you preach.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to think.
Preaching the next Sunday.
I know. So.
Good.
Just so you could see who this guy is.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
16th, so I'm not doing kids worship that week. So that'll be good. Or kids class.
Yeah.
Hopefully Devin will be completely in charge by that point.
No, you are.
No, that's the Matt Bardwell's week.
But you're at least on standby. Because
Devin's in week one.
Oh, yeah. I'm sort of running.
Yeah. Well, we'll work out scheduling later.
But I'm not teaching anything that week.
So we'll work out scheduling later.
In week one, one of the handouts is going to be the shepherding model that we put together. Because pretty much that's the meat of all the next.
So that's the 2025 with, the new one. Okay, right.
And then I was going to talk about the shepherd's covenant.
Right.
We talked about not giving that out.
Right.
But having like the points you had in one of your documents is there was 5 points about what that really talks about, and just talk about the spirit of that.
Yeah, I think that's great. So, okay.
So that's
you guys are feeling comfortable about that? Because again, I think it's going to be a great class.
Yeah.
And
I hope it will be enough interest to the congregation that people will stay for it. You know?
Yeah.
You know what? So we have a big TV in the auditorium or in the lobby.
Watch
we
it there.
Will
just
blast
turn it, up.
It out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there that's what we did with worship this Sunday, and it worked really well.
Oh, did it really?
Yes. Yeah. So it was. I mean, people could see it, hear it, generally, and so.
Yeah.
And so we turned it on as service was starting, so the people out in the lobby, I think, hung out in the lobby longer than they probably should have because of that. But
And this is interesting because we haven't talked about our structure and elders. Since we merged.
Correct.
And you think about a lot of the families, new families that we had, like the Mentons. And
right.
I mean, they probably don't have a clue how we go about it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And again, 2016, October 2nd, on the bulletin, I've mentioned this many times, the changeover we've had has been very dramatic. So we have, it'd be interesting looking and seeing how many are here now that weren't here before COVID.
Right. So. Yeah. Well, good. I think this is going to be a great class because I'm very interested in it, so I think it's going to be good. Back to number 8, old business, real quick. So at the last meeting, we talked about two things, and I think we had follow-up on both. So, Dave, I think on North City, I think you were saying this year you were going to talk to him. Do you just want a lump sum and cut and run, or how are you going to handle that?
I did run it by the missions committee, the scenario where I think as tight as we need to be, that it's reasonable, and our relationship with North City is not, vibrant or anything. And so it's reasonable to end our support for them. But how do we do that? And so they did the committee embraced the idea of saying, look, we support you $5,000 a year. We'll either do that for one more year or half of that for each of 2 years. Same amount of support if that happens to be any better for you, but it gives them at least a year notice and it can string it out a little more. And so I've reached out to Rodney, the lead minister there, to have that conversation in person, and hopefully we'll get that scheduled this month.
They've interviewed him on Channel 5 News. They did about a week ago when there was a murder up there.
I didn't know.
And then also about 6 months ago, something around that place, and they interviewed him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How's the church doing?
I don't know. They had an anniversary celebration, and Craig Piper texted us, you know, the day of, like Saturday, hey, we're having, or Friday night or something, and we were having our fall festival, and it's like, it just, and so, I don't, last time I was there, it's been over a year ago, and there were only about a dozen people there on a Sunday morning, and fewer than that on the last Wednesday I attended, but again, it's been a couple of years, so. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, thanks for following up on that, doing that. And so then, Jeff, and I don't know if you've had any conversations or further thoughts on Mauritius. So I think we talked last time. Is this a missions effort or benevolence effort? And what do we know about what's going on there?
So we had a conversation at the missions committee as well about that. And so it's still a mission effort. So Kendon is still preaching. So he's not preaching every week like he was before, but he's still working as a missionary to a point. He's not running the church like he was either. So that's the piece that's sort of a question mark because he's working with, I forgot the guy's name now.
Silvio.
And so, but they would like for, like, so the church itself, I think, probably would like for him to be more of the leader of the church as he's much more younger and vibrant than Silvio himself. And so, that includes his daughter, like Silvio's daughters are part of the people that have started that movement of getting them over there. And so, but I think that generally if they view great.
So Camden's house church has ended. He's not hosting that. A lot of those folks haven't transferred to come to the other church. So it's really not as much of a church merger as we thought.
Yeah.
And then Silvio isn't letting go of as much as we thought and hoped and Camden hoped. So he's there, he's involved, but kind of like the Siebert Institute warned us about, you know, long time, forever ministers letting go, that is exactly what Camden is experiencing. And so he's taken what he'll give him, but it has changed, you know, what Camden is doing. And so, but for now, let's let that play out, is the, you know, keep things pretty status quo.
And he had been doing a course with one of the other churches there too, Jeff had mentioned, and so I think with the Baptist church or something like that, and so it's a preaching course, sort of learning how to preach better, and so he was doing that. And then Ely, his son, is in Marseille, and so he's completely funded, and he's really good to go for the rest of the year, so everything's going well with that.
So. All right, well, thanks for the updates and keeping on top of that, and, you know, you know, on the church leadership class, these chairs. So reading through that, you know, what is a church? What's a local church? What is church leadership? And again, I don't know what the answers are, but reading through that, it looked like in Acts, the apostles went out and said, you guys need elders, right? So some of these churches, like Marseille, what should we counsel there? I mean, what's the expectation? You know, because I'm wondering, because I'm trying to read through church leadership this class, and it's like, well, you know, Marseille's been there a long time, and I don't know if it's just Craig running that thing, and is that, you know, how long do we let that fly, or what's appropriate there? I mean, because again, we are, I guess, in effect, the eldership for that congregation, and so that's what I don't know.
I think we are just the overseers of Craig's money to a point.
Right. So,
but I think that there's a full leadership, I assume elders or at least some kind of leadership there at that church that is outside of our picture a lot of the time.
But you assume you don't know? But I mean, that's
so
part
of
the question.
I know the Donners are very much, so I mean, because Philip is the preacher there, and so then there are multiple, so the Donner family, they are all part of it, as well as the guy that is living at the other place now.
Right.
And so I think that there's a lot more that we don't see, that Craig is really, when he's here, he's telling about his work, but the work of the church is bigger than his work.
Right, which is great, but what shouldn't we know more about that?
If we were interested in it. So that's the thing, that we've been interested in what he's working on because we're paying him.
Right.
And that's so it's a different perspective. So if we wanted to go and really find out how church works there, we would probably need to be there, one, or we would need to sit down with him and say, tell us about how church flows.
Well, I don't even need it. It should just be like a 5-minute conversation. What's your leadership? Do you have elders? What's going on? And just sent an email.
But, so you guys are aware of all that.
We're aware that they do have other leaders that are part
of
the
congregation. They've had a mature leadership there for years.
Yes. Yeah,
so definitely. Who are they and what do they do?
So the Donner family.
But what do they do? What's their role? What's
Max
their title?
Max is the senior. Philip is the preaching minister.
Okay.
I don't know if their structure is an eldership or a committee. I don't know that. It's working, but it can't hurt to learn, keep learning that and ask Craig what's his thoughts on that, especially as they're talking about a church plant, not a move. You know, how do you... we know it's okay to not have elders for a while. You know,
right.
Young churches, but... Yeah.
20 years.
You're right. I think you raise a good question. It can be a healthy part of our relationship with.
So I didn't think about it until we started going through this class, and it's like, well, how long, what's reasonable to have a church without leadership or a structure? And so I don't know. So I'm not saying that it's got to be different, but I think it's like, well, we should at least understand what it is, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you guys for the follow-up on that, which gets us to number 9. And so on this, on the church calendar, we have several big things that we do, big in terms of money and people and time and energy, you know, like VBS. And so one of them's the trunk or treat and, you know, faith in action, those kinds of things. And so it is always good to have a retrospective or a postmortem on these things. Okay, what, how did it go? And to answer that, what are the goals? And then how did it go? What can we do better next time? And so the first one is, I guess, for you to kind of let us know how the fall festival went and if there's anything to tweak and you know, what were the goals and did it check the boxes?
So I think that it was probably one of the biggest ones that we've had for a while. So probably since 2020.
Big in number of people? Okay.
Yeah, number of people. The other thing is it was big in the number of guests that were there versus the number of members.
Right.
So just like VBS where we had, like our guest total was much more than our member total.
Right.
The same thing happened this time.
Right.
And so that was definitely a positive because that's really what, so it's not really for me. It's not really for you guys.
Right.
But it's about the people that come.
Right.
So,
and so that's the question. Is that the goal is to get people?
Yeah, it's a community outreach.
Right.
And so it's, and we don't do much advertising either.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
So it's a very little budget item right now. Right. So we've never brought it up to the budget line that it was historically. Mm-hmm. And so in the last couple of years, we've been trying to keep it sort of under, we're having it because we know it, we have impact.
Right. But that's my question. So what is the goal of it? What is
we pay for the sign, we pay for the hot dogs.
Right.
And we pay for nothing else.
Right. But what's the goal, I guess, is the question.
I think getting people here. And
just warm bodies here?
Yes.
So not giving them any information about the church or anything?
Yeah. So getting warm bodies here is the key piece.
Okay.
So when they get in this building, they get a couple different things. They get people that are welcoming them.
Yep.
They get a paper that will tell them about what's going on at the church. And then they will also feel welcomed by the people that they go see at their trunks or at their chili.
Mm-hmm.
And so this constant, that there's people here that aren't trying to look at me and send me away. Because we didn't tell anybody they couldn't eat chili or more chili. We actually told them, eat more chili. Keep going around the circle a couple more times. We need to get rid of this candy because we don't want it. But in making it useful. So there's a couple things that we've talked about as a staff. I think that we felt that we could probably make even the trunk or treat part even better than it was. Dave is one of the perfect examples because Dave's trunk was probably, if he would have put more fluff into it, it probably would have won the competition because most of the kids were interested in being there because his trunk had something that was scientific, but also that got their attention and they were interested in.
Sink or float. The old Dave Letterman.
Yeah. That's like a
choose an item.
So I guess back with that, though, is...
Had a big tub of water.
Oh, how funny.
Right, so doing things with trunks would imply that there's a goal. So
I think the goal is just what he said. I mean, to me, to get people to come and be here, to experience what the church, the inside of the church looks like, and they did get information about events that are going on and time for services. And just, I had to stay home with Debbie's sister, Debbie said she met young families and couples that just straight from the neighborhood, and she got to interact with them. I'm assuming lots of people did that. I think that in and of itself is
major
thing. Right, so that is good, but getting warm bodies, that can't be the goal, because there's a lot of easier ways to do that.
I don't think so. One of the things, you have to have something that's attracting people to come in.
Entry ramp.
Mm-hmm. And that warm bodies is key, because
how would you get every warm Sunday? Bodies here?
I mean, just you know, we'll give you $5. We did not.
We said we got a candy.
Well, I mean, but
the church itself did not pay for it.
But what I'm saying is, despite you're saying warm bodies is the goal, I don't think it's what you're saying, because I don't think that's the goal. The goal is making connection with the community, for the church to make connection.
It's not just getting them inside the building. It's having somebody here willing to talk to everybody and being somebody walking around at the tables.
And so
having a positive relationship about this church that's on the corner.
Right, and so that is a good goal, I understand. So with that goal, where should our efforts be put? Should it be put into fancy trunks? I don't think that's a bad thing, but if that's what your goal is, you know, where do we need to put our efforts? And so I'm not saying any of this is wrong, but I'm just saying...
Are you saying that there should be a better alternative?
No. I'm just saying I just want clarity on what we're trying to do.
The sum of all the parts are more than... What is that cliche?
Mm-hmm. It's synergies. The whole is more than the sum of the parts.
But I think the trunk... to me, it's a proven way to get people driving by... that would know for any other reason stop here, that they would come for a trunk or treat. So it's a tool.
Right.
For example,
there's a cultural shift to less and less door-to-door trick-or-treating and a comfort level with the trunk or treat.
Right.
For the first time at our home in 20 years, we did not have a single trick-or-treater this year.
Yeah.
And so usually we get a dwindling number, but none. Yeah. And so... fewer people hosting in the neighborhood, the squeamishness, you know, it gets dark, all that. So the trunk or treat is really a welcoming way to let their kids do a Halloween event.
Right.
Safe place at a church.
Yeah.
We can share information during that safe event.
And I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just saying, so this was like 3 years ago, maybe four, maybe 3 years ago. We did it, and it's like, well, did anybody put flyers in pumpkins? Was anybody handing out a flyer? No. And it's like, well, it's like, I think it was still worthwhile, but if we can look at this and say, hey, we can do this, we can hand out a flyer, or we can make sure that we've got enough people to greet them, or we had greeters inside, but we didn't have greeters outside. I mean, that's, you know, again, you got
to
look at it.
To the staff for deciding we need to do it on Saturday versus Sunday because we may be able to have an inroad for them being there on Sunday because of the strategy that they have.
I think we did
have
some folks on
Sunday. Yes, we did. We have two families at least that I met saw.
And for example, we used to do the big Easter egg hunt, and people didn't even know that we were the ones that were sponsoring. So we quit doing that for this reason.
And that's what I'm saying is you shouldn't do it, you know, same as last year. You know, that's not a reason to do it. And I'm not saying we did anything wrong, but what were we trying to do and did we do it?
So the best feedback I got was that we need small sample cups for the chili contest.
Yeah, instead of big,
We had them. So the one thing we forgot to put out was the bowls to begin with. So somebody went and grabbed the big bowls as opposed to getting both the big and the little.
Yeah.
So
Dixie cup kind of thing.
Me and Becky have had many conversations over the years about bowls for trunk or treat and for chili festival.
And
we knew it, and we just forgot them in the back.
And that's where the staff role of you guys are going through that and processing it and evaluating it and
making it better.
One
it was much more of an outreach feel. And congratulations on that success.
I thought it went well.
One of the other things I'll share is I got an email from Leslie Simpson.
Okay.
So the Simpsons, you know, they have two daughters, One of the daughters has not been at a church in probably 30 plus years.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. She didn't tell me exactly the exact time. But she's like, she just doesn't go to churches. She will not do anything with the church, anything. There's some kind of thing that just is against it. She was at our trunk or treat.
Wow, great.
She came with a friend, and so I saw them sitting there, so I went over there and chatted with them, and they pulled back pretty much, and so they're talking to Leslie, and then I'm like, hey, do you guys want to judge the trunks? And her friend mentioned something. I judge chili. I'm like, well, I have a chili thing here too.
There you go.
So Leslie's daughter her friend went around and judged all the chili.
Oh, wow.
So they were happy. So at first they were just, this daughter at least was smug a bit whenever I was standing there, sitting there talking to them. And I knew, I've seen her before, so I've seen both of the daughters. But this time she was just very, just not really wanting to smile. Mm. But after judging the chilies, things were different.
Uh-huh.
So she had a smile a little bit, and so things.
So what did Leslie say?
She was so happy.
Oh,
she was just bubbling that, like in the email, that her daughter had come to church and she was happy being here as opposed to not.
Yeah.
So whether or not she'll ever come back to church is another question. But that was one of the things that at least something even for adults. So it's not even just the little kids that we're trying to reach out to. It's the adults really that are the bigger pieces.
I'm sure Dale and Leslie were thrilled.
Oh, they were. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Nice.
So great. So anyway, I thought it went well. But again, it's just, I formalize this kind of stuff at work. And you have to be able to articulate what you're trying to do. And you can feel something went well, but can you say why? So I think we've done well. So the other big thing we just got through is faith in action.
Can I stop you before you jump into that? So one other thing that I told the staff, and Steve Walker heard it then, is that there's one thing that I would like to ask, is that the people sitting around this table try to be there. Because it's an outreach event, it's not that we try not to publicize Halloween out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
We have a chili cook-off in one room, we have and it would be really nice if at least the elders could be there.
Because it is important.
And because that's one of the things that, and I know, Don, you had an excuse. You had food there. You had a trunk there.
I was planning to be there up until
3 o'clock. And that's where, and I know there's always things that come up, but it's just trying to make every effort as the leadership to be there. And I think that's just one of those key pieces.
I agree. Yeah, I had a pregnant daughter, but
she could have came too.
I know.
There was candy for her, chili for her.
But I do think it's important that we support these things.
I was out of town.
And so then we get to faith in action. And again, you know, it's your thing. In my mind, it does two big things. Three big things. It serves the widows in our congregation, lets them know their love. But it's also a way to reach out to the community. I know occasionally we'll reach out to the community and, hey, we're willing to help. But also, it gives us an opportunity to work together as a congregation. And I think those three things are all important. So even if we smudged Windex on the windows, it was worth it, right? Because, we're still spending time together. And I try to prevent that as much as possible, but I think those are three main goals why we do that, and I think we did well on all those. But, it's your thing, so you guys kind of talk about it.
I mean, Andy Clapper is a great example. I mean, I don't know what he's engaged in over the past 2 or 3 years, but he was one of the first emails I got back when I sent out the email saying, I
know him better than I did before. Chris Fuller, too. It was a neat team, and seeing Mary Jo smile on her face.
Yeah.
Warm fuzzies.
It was great. And we had
good example.
Mary Jo, Dolores, Peggy Hope, and Susan Blaine and Marion, and then Maria.
Alice Ferry.
Oh, and Alice Ferry. Oh, yeah, that was another one.
Wow.
Where Alice Ferry put in the email that she wanted some cleaning and stuff done. So Susie Bird sends an email to Don and I, says, I'll take care of this. I'll get another lady and we'll go do that. I'm like, oh,
she asked specifically for some ladies to come over and help her move her winter wardrobe or summer wardrobe.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then along those same lines, Saturday, Chris Fuller sends out an email saying needing transportation for Bryant and his family. I think he was going to go pick up Bryant to come in for the praise team thing. And then several people volunteered to do that. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And for Chris to do that, I was really thrilled about that.
Yeah, Kaylin had picked up Bryant the week before.
Oh, yeah.
And so she knew that he knew that Kaylin was going to be there. So I think that he felt that on himself to, as the leader for that week of the praise team to do that.
That's good. So, yeah, everything went great.
Right.
We had way more than we had signed up.
Good problem to have.
I thought I had an extra pizza, but Joyce Holmes only got one piece.
Yeah.
But she said, it's my fault. I was out there talking. So really, either it was a perfect number of pieces to get, or we could have gotten one more.
I know of at least two that didn't get food.
Yeah, okay. There's several that didn't. Yeah.
But we had, I bet.
But he ate a bunch of hot dogs, so he was happy.
Yeah. I bet about 15 people were there that weren't signed up.
And you know, again, for next time, I try to, you know, I get all the stragglers, which is it's a tricky thing. And so I think I'm going to have to work with you guys a little bit more, and we're going to have to do something. The easiest thing is leaves, because you can send kids out, and they can see what they've done. It's like your vacuum, and it's like, you know, I guess it's clean. So, you're back in 5 minutes, and it should have taken an hour. But leaves, it's like you can tell. And, you know, in the past, that's always been a really good one. And so, you know, it's hard to plan that. But
And I guess we need to do Faith in Action a couple weeks later. When the leaves come down.
Yeah, right. So historically, this week would have been good.
Yeah.
This year, just been a very odd year because of all the rain we got.
Right. Yeah.
It's kept them on the trees.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing on this is, it's important, at least in my mind, important to give people attaboys, like especially the youth group. You know, and so it's like, hey, guys, you know, here's pictures. You know, you guys, that was great. We really appreciate what you did. What you did was significant. And not just the teenagers, but I think other people as well. Yeah. And so, you know, however we can do that, I think giving some attaboys or maybe throwing a picture or two up there would be.
So, and if you give me the pictures or Andrew or
I'll send you the link, I think,
on the new TV. Yeah. So that's what we did with Fall Festival. All the pictures from Fall Festival ended up on there. Yeah. Where we put one or two up on the main screen because of the time. But on there, we can put as many as we want, and they can float through.
Yeah.
So
he had several pictures. We had one from the Chris Fuller sent. That was a great picture.
That was.
Send it to me, and I can put it on there.
Yeah.
We're team awesome.
Did you have any pictures?
Send it some pictures to me if you've
got
any.
Pictures.
Okay.
And I'll put it on the website, and then I'll send it to Jeff.
And then see if Alec or
I've got pictures of Delore, when I went over there to kind of scope it out. I've got pictures of the out. I won't have any people on it.
We need people.
That's right. We can just superimpose them. One and a half things. So the other is small groups. So, you know, again, I've been giving it a lot of thought, and I've actually talked with Andrew and Devin about this, and they've got some good insights. And you know, we talked and prayed, and we're still trying to figure out the best way to do it. But it sounds like maybe a spring push is kind of what these guys think would be good. Now, we agree that we still need to encourage the leaders and somehow say, hey, you know, and, you know, find a way to meet with them. We don't know that inviting them to a Monday night, you'd get a critical mass. You know, you may get one or two of them. But so we were just brainstorming maybe before church or after church, you know, in the space between classes or something, just have a quick 15 minutes just to say, you know, you guys are terrifically important, you know, to the health of the congregation. And so anyway, I'm still talking with Andrew and Devin about things, but that's kind of what we were talking about. And Andrew, I don't know if you've got anything else to add on that.
No, I think the biggest thing we were just talking about is, one, I mean, the need for probably even some other groups to start up. That was something I thought of. Me and Devin, I think we talked about that after you left at one point.
Well, you said you talked to Kaz and Matthew and another group about splitting, and it sounds like you had talked with them and they were open.
A couple of them have talked about possibly splitting, but
Eric,
you know,
McPherson, that was the only one.
Because of how big they're getting, but you know, I was just starting to think of, I mean, if you just take those that have placed membership in the last 2 months, you know, all of a sudden that's a whole other group already. If you And so that was my thought. I was sitting here going, we might need to start seeing who are some people that are leaders that we could start tapping, going, hey, would you mind starting a group even?
Right. Which is great, but again, we have to have a way to support them, some kind of structure that we as elders feed them as they feed the sheep.
Has Devin communicated his desire to lead a group? I know he and Carly were, when they were placing membership here, regardless of the position of hiring, they were already talking about possibility of a small group.
He had brought it up, but he hadn't gone anywhere with it yet, from my understanding.
So I wonder how much, and we could have conversations later about it, but how much we want to allow new members to start their own groups without no older members in there to...
But they have the culture. And,
yeah, the cultural piece of it. Well, which is not bad necessarily, but it's also you're losing...
Well, that's something Devin is very passionate about that I tend to agree with. I think it takes both kinds, but he is very passionate about a intergenerational small groups. And so his point is it can't be just, it could be all new members if they were different ages.
Not just your peer group.
As he put, he's like, I need someone older than me that I can ask, wait, how do I do this in life? And so, that was kind of where I started kind of trying to make a list of, okay, if I put Devin and Carly in this group, and then I put, Stuart and Donnelly in this group, and Patrick and Julia, okay, so who are those older people? Do we plug an elder into each of these groups? Do we, those kind of things?
We've got a group of all older people. I'm the youngest one there, I think, and they're retired, and it's really hard get everybody together because so many are out of town.
Right.
It's, and I'm guilty of it too.
Yeah.
Now, but it's really been hard. We're just so disjointed.
Yeah. So I'll try to continue to work with Andrew and Devin. And again, I just wanted you guys to know that it's not fallen through the cracks. We've not forgot about it, but we just want to be intentional and not. We want to give it time and do it right. So we're thinking about it. And I guess with that, something you reminded me of today, and I think Jeff McGlone and I talked about it just a little bit as far as our role.
Yeah, so
go ahead.
I was trying to figure out when we're going through this, we got the admin elders, division elders, and pastoral elders, and we don't have any of the elders in the pastoral time. Now, we're all pastoral. We're all everything.
Right.
But according to gifts, like the division elders and the admin elders, and I don't want to have anything to do with the admin elders. You guys do your thing. I appreciate what you guys do, trust what you guys do. But with the pastoral elders, it's got on here, they focus on relationships, prayer, visitation, and congregational care. And I would like to propose that we put these two guys in the pastoral elders, that there's kind of overseeing it. It's a good elder word, where he's going to be working with the small groups. That's pastoral stuff there, and then have Jeff be a part of working with and managing the pastoral team. Do we call them that, or pastoral care team, whatever we call them, and working and managing and building some more of them up, because that was a great thing that we did before, and I think it would be a good fit to have those two guys in there, and then you've got who's going to make sure we're focusing on relationships, or the prayer, having some prayer times or visitation. One of you guys were involved in with the next steps. I think it was Steve Walker said somebody needs to take the horns out. They want to meet one of the elders. Can somebody do that? That's kind of something, especially Jeff could do, is not do it, but just say, here's some needs we have. Can somebody take this and go with it? And so that's what I'm proposing is, and again, when we get to talking about these three areas of our eldership, propose that, announce that these guys will be doing that.
That makes sense to me. I don't know how it strikes you guys initially for feedback, but that's pretty good.
What do you think,
Josh? Yeah, I think I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I know that we had talked a little bit about Steve earlier, and so, but yeah, I think it could fit as You don't want me to be the admin person, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Envision I lead you off down to a pit somewhere, probably. Yeah.
But, and it's yeah. seemed to me it's overwhelming and a stretch goal, but I, yeah. I, it makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, and you've already got Devin and Andrew right, helping help you me. With some of the
right. I think
small
that's
group
that's going to be really yeah. good. Right.
Okay.
Well, I think we're doing all right. And again, some of this stuff we tabled for later. But again, I think a lot going on, but a lot good going on. You know, I think we're moving in the right direction. I think we still need to make sure that we're following the Spirit and God's lead, and we're being grounded in the Word. But again, I'm excited to see what's going to happen here. So.
Well, I would suggest we skip number, I guess we tabled number three. We've got time.
Okay,
we
got,
not
yeah,
do it
if
now?
You've got your 5 minutes about how we want to handle that, Dan.
Yeah, so not much of an update on the budget. The Finance Committee is going to try to meet on November 11th. That's Veterans Day. So I don't know how it strikes you guys if you have any commitments that day. I'm actually off. So it's a very flexible day.
Lawyers never get vacation, never get holidays, do they?
And we could have our normal 6:30 p.m. that Tuesday, the 11th, if that's best. Or we could do a little earlier if you guys were free. So, but anyway, that'll give us a chance to work on a first draft. And I hope to bring to the... at least a large overview picture to the meeting on the our next meeting this month. And then we'll have two classes under our belt. Mm-hmm. And so I want to make sure, you know, we're prepping for that third class and mm-hmm. flesh that out as good timing, just as thoughts for the agenda for that. But so budget-wise, I did talk to Walker. We reevaluated his position, like we said we were going to do at the end of the year. I told him I thought it was very valuable, worth continuing if it's working for him. And so we wanted to budget for 20 hours for him going forward, if we can, and then reevaluate again in 6 months and see, you know. And I asked him to update his job description so that as it evolves, and you know, that fades away maybe, whenever that time comes, we'll have a list of duties we've got to figure out how to cover. Because that's been evolving this year.
Yeah.
Sure. He's been in the position.
I mean, I struggle with the employee doing their own job description, but it seems to make sense in this case. So.
Well, at least it's a straw man.
Right. In this case, it does. I mean, usually I would bark at that, but for this, this makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah, so.
As an update. Yeah. So anyway, budget-wise. But and then I also, typically this time of year, as we approach the end of the year, there's a kind of a congregational appeal, bit of a budget update. Where are we? What are we looking at? We don't have the budget set yet. And so I wanted us to consider whether the congregational meeting on December 7th is a good, or maybe we see how much of that needs to be about the eldership class, communication both ways, or maybe an update.
We've done in the past, and you've done a really good job of this, of just telling everybody about that time frame. Here's where we are budget-wise. We're a little behind, so if there's any way folks want to step up and try to make up some of that deficit, or year-end's a good time for giving for some people, you know?
Yep.
And take advantage of some things there.
That's often best done on Sunday morning because there's more people hearing that than who will stay for
what
the
congregational meeting. What if you did it on December 7th during the worship, cut his short a little bit, and
that would be
do it then, and then say, and if you have more discussion, we can have it at the congregation meeting.
Those are all possibilities, and so I thought we ought to figure out what and when.
Yeah, that sounds good, and I think I briefly mentioned to you that it might be good to say, kind of we talked about, hey, a lot of good things are happening. You know, look what's going on in the church. We just need to make sure that we can support it. And we've had some people step up, make some, you know, big donations towards this because they're excited about it. And we just need more people to really rally behind this. And so, again, I think it's good timing, you know,
given...
say there's a lot of change in the tax code that would suggest that this would be a very good year to make your...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, let people know that.
Yeah.
I mean, really and truly, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because I can guarantee you the taxes are going up no matter what happens.
Yeah.
So this year, you have some opportunity to still use... what's going to change as of January 1, which is when the big, beautiful bill really cuts in.
Yeah, and I think the December 7th is probably the better option than the 30th. So I was first thinking the 30th, but that's the holiday or the Thanksgiving weekend. So the 7th will be everybody sort of back in place as opposed to having visitors here. It'll be just a normal folks.
Yeah, it sounds like. Pretty good timing.
Yeah. I'm good for what's the holiday?
November 11th.
Yeah.
You're good for the evening?
Yeah.
Okay, our normal 6:30 kind of time frame.
Whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
If you want to do it earlier? Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
I also might be available.
The 11th will work for you? Okay, thank you.
And as we started this meeting, again, David, I'm thankful that you have these gifts and the patience to manage this. So it's been a blessing to us. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I guess with that, Don, you don't have too many times. Can you close us out with a prayer?
Sure. I actually have one more.
Oh.
Sorry.
Wait a minute.
This is a people thing.
Okay.
And actually, it was Fall Festival that made me think of it. If you haven't met the Frints.
How do you spell that?
F-R-I-N-T, like Flint, but with an R.
F-R-I-N-T, okay.
Frint. His name is Stice. Stice, Frint, and Bailey. Bailey's cousin married my brother.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Okay.
I don't even remember meeting her. Lydia does at my brother's wedding. That's the last time we saw each other. They just moved from Montana. We helped them move in 2 Thursdays ago, and they were like, hey, we'll come to your church. They came to the Fall Festival, and they immediately came to the next day and even put it in filled out the form and even put interested in placing membership.
Oh, wow.
So definitely go meet them.
What age?
Your age. They're
right under me, so they're in their probably... like 20s, early 30s.
And where are they living? Where'd you move them in at?
Ferguson.
Oh, okay.
They have two kids.
A 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. He works through the Scott Air Force Base, which again, I'm like,
that's
and
a
he
long
ended
way.
Up here. In,
yeah.
But he's a big gun guy and did not want to move to a state that's blue.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
With everything he has.
Yeah.
Again, I went, Ferguson, though?
It'll save the money living on this side of the Mississippi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they seem to be, I mean, they were here last week, too. So they seem to be all in. But so that was the thought I had is, man, y'all need to start meeting them. Because they seem to be gung-ho about making this their home. So.
And I got a prayer request, just got a text from a guy who's a minister in Nashville now. He used to be another location. And he just said, pray for me. Satan's attacking, feel like failure and insignificant. So I'm going to give him a call when we leave. We just pray for him.
Okay. Lord, thank you so much for being with us tonight. And it's been a good meeting. And I feel like we've accomplished a lot. And really have felt your spirit here with us, and grateful for your love for us and for this church. Thank you for these men and their desire to serve you, and we just pray that you'll continue to help us to seek ways that we can do that in the right way, that will just spread your love in this community and in this church. Thank you for our staff and just how dedicated they are, and just so grateful for the blessings that they bring to this church, and just continue to bless them and their work. Give them your spiritual wisdom and insight, as well as us as leaders, Father, to know the things that we need to be seeking and doing. Again, we lift up to you the people that we've mentioned tonight with very special needs. And just know that they're on our heart, and that we will continue to seek ways that we can serve and help any way that we can. Father, we don't have all the answers, and we just continue to lean on you for yes. guidance and helping us to see the right way, and we just pray that you'll bless us as we leave here tonight and give a safe journey to our homes and good rest. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for Jesus, and it's his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.